Today is Wednesday, February 24th, 1:16 p.m. Eastern Time. I am convening a meeting of the WBI Radio Committee. I am Sean Rhodes. I am here with Janet Coleman.
Hello.
Hello, Janet.
Hi.
Carolyn Burton.
Hi.
Pat Logan.
Hello.
And James Sagerton.
Hello.
Is there anyone else on the call I've missed? Okay, so we have enough to start with. So let me just read through the preliminary agenda that I've created and see how people want to proceed. One, choose a pro tem chair. Two, discuss the IPD's proposal of having an executive producer for the future of the LSB show. Three, discuss the empowering motion. Four, choose someone to convene the next committee meeting. Any objection to that?
Nope.
All right. So I will volunteer to be. Okay.
Before we get started, may I interrupt and second the motion that you volunteer to be interim chair?
We need a second on that?
Well, we got one now.
Just in case.
Okay. Thank you.
And there's no objection.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So as I started to say, let me read the portion of Linda's email to the committee from January where she spoke about this. The program needs an executive producer who can add production values to the show and jazz up the promo cart announcing the next show. Janet, would you be willing to take on this responsibility? So at our last meeting on February 3rd, we touched upon it briefly, and we decided that Janet was willing to undertake that, but she would. But she asked if I could assist her in that function, and we left it that Janet and I would have a discussion about how to proceed in that matter. That discussion really didn't take place. I thought about it on my own, and prior to the start of today's meeting, I shared with her my thoughts. So I'll share that now with the rest of the committee. My personal thought is that we may have to tell her no in terms of the idea of having an executive producer, because the way the empowering motion has been structured and the way it's worked all these years is that the committee is the de facto executive producer. If a program director, be it interim or permanent, wants to bring about some changes or make suggestions for, you know, new ideas or new ways of doing things, that person can relay those ideas to the committee, and the committee will discuss it. And based on that decision, based on that discussion, task the implementers with making that a reality. But for the program director to do that now is basically allowing an outside party to create a whole new mechanism for an LSB committee. So I advocate no. And as I said, if there are ideas for improving, we're all open for improvement. No one's against that. But just bring the ideas to the committee, and the committee will discuss it. Now, if the rest of the body wants to go along with that idea of having an executive producer, that means we have to, you know, come up, have a discussion about how to implement that. No pun intended there with implementation and implementer. In terms of what mechanisms we use, in terms of is this term for the executive producer for a show for 6 months, a year, for life? And how would the committee go about designating this person based on what criteria? And what checks and balances would the committee put in place for this executive producer so that the executive producer is answerable to the committee? So if the body wants to take that route, there are some things we have to discuss and then put that into the new empowering motion and then bring that before the LSB for the LSB to sign off on it. So I'm just giving you the options there. So,
James,
how,
James for the stack?
Okay, James, go ahead.
Despite how the title executive producer for life appeals to me, I would say that, thank you, Janet.
That was someone else, actually.
Okay, all right, whoever it was, thank you. Thank you. I'm just inquiring as to, didn't we discuss having the implementers be sort of a de facto executive producer, you know, kind of fill in that role? I don't recall.
I don't think we did.
No, we didn't have that discussion.
And as I said here,
it's the committee itself that's the de facto executive producer. The implementers simply carry out what the committee has, you know, discussed and agreed upon. Like at our last meeting, that's what I'm remembering. Okay. Well, at our last meeting, the committee, you know, bandied about the idea of, you know, giving time limits to the callers, and there was general agreement. So, and that's what the implementers carried out.
Well, pretty much all every improvement that the implementers discussed, we managed to carry out, like to eliminate. To have the speakers speak one after the other and then have an opportunity to talk to each other. It went well last night. And also to limit the phone calls to 3 minutes as opposed to five or no limit. And that worked very well, I thought.
I agree.
Yeah.
But James, were you finished? I didn't mean to cut you off there.
I was, yes.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak to this matter, this idea?
Yeah, I just want to have a little more to say about it. Because there were two or three things. Sean used another variation of the cart, and I don't know if anyone listened last night. But really, we did incorporate our groupthink there we actually transferred it to the body of people who were there, and it worked out pretty well. They still tended to like talk about. Oh, I have to admit, I called in. I did call in because they were doing the thing that we had talked about. I don't know how many of us talked about it, but that they were talking about which programs they liked again, as if they, as LSB members or directors, had any obligation to programming. They don't. They have no. Yeah. They have no responsibilities. They have no job in the programming. So you wanted to know more. What do you do in your job as LSB member or director? And after that criticism, it appeared to me that they really got on the ball and started talking about what they did on the PNB, what they did on the LSB, what projects they were initiating, what they hoped to do, various fundraising strategies. And it seemed to me to be much more, you know, serious instead of just killing time.
Pat, it was who was on which hour? The second hour was totally... Everybody was totally, up to their responsibilities and up to talking about the LSB.
Right.
It was everybody was wonderful on the second
That's
hour.
Right.
The first
it was
hour,
amazing.
The first
yeah.
hour was just a bunch of people that didn't know, that didn't have any idea what they should be talking about or didn't
right.
hadn't. Prepared, and they just talked about anything that they could figure out to fill the time. And I thought it was good that Dee Dee Hallick talked about the free speech matter, even though it was a little bit off topic, because it's so important when you're talking about people trying to destroy the democratic structure, that this what she was talking about had to do with that in a good way, and I thought it was important enough that it wasn't bad, that it was slightly off topic.
Yeah, she didn't really connect it to, she didn't tell the whole story, nor say why it was relevant that her case was about MNN. You know, we have a problem, we have a conflict about MNN at our station, at the network. So it would have been made more sense if she'd explained it. So much of this stuff goes, by initials, and they say Bertold, and they don't say who he is. You can't just take for granted that everybody sits around your dinner table with you, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
Wait. Let me jump in here.
Yeah.
To clarify some things that Pat and Janet said. I agree with that. In the first hour, there were people who didn't stick to the topic strictly, but it wasn't everybody, because we started off the show with our poll, and our poll gave numbers and some tangible things, and spoke about what the treasurer does on the local level, and spoke about the National Finance Committee. So that's why he was placed first, because I knew he would start off, talking about the business. That was good. But to come to the defense of the people who weren't exactly on point, specifically Dee Dee, Jack DePalmer, and Ralph Pointer, they mentioned shows, not in the context of these are my favorite shows. They mentioned some shows that they thought were important to be on a station like WBAI that would encourage communities that have been disenfranchised to come around, to rally around and support the station. So I agree with Pat that they weren't exactly off topic, but they could have done a better job of tying in the correlation between those programs that they were singling out for attention and its relevance to what they do as board members, or why it's important for them for those shows to be on a station such as BAI.
Can it be my turn again?
Sure.
I want to hog the thing, but there was also so much inaccuracy. I mean, Jack Shalom, what's his name? Jack DePalmer.
DePalmer.
He said stuff like, I mean, he made it seem WBAI didn't belong on Wall Street. Is he kidding me? That was some idea that he had cooked up himself. It wasn't the general opinion of everyone that WBAI never belonged on Wall Street. We were in a nonprofit building getting a good deal when we moved in there, and it was a fabulous space, and we've never recuperated from the loss of that space, frankly. So to say that this was all a matter of good fortune, that we are now stuck in a place outside, in a remote space that guests have trouble getting to when they can get there, it just seemed to me ridiculous. You can't make up stuff and put that out as reality. It just doesn't seem appropriate to have people, invent a past history. They should check first.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to put myself back on the stack. I can't disagree with that, but
yeah.
I think we're getting a little away from the topic
of what
we should be talking about, which is
what
to do in terms of this executive producer idea. But it also underscores the point. Oh, and I wanted to add some more to your point about the committee having that discussion and what things we agreed to that we would implement with this first show. In addition to the time limits and asking people to stick to, their duties, responsibilities as board members and PNB members, we also had the host do a pitch for buddies and
right.
for basic membership. That was – and
right, right.
Jack did a terrific job of that in the second hour.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
He was right on point on that. We also had transition music, not so much in the first hour, but in the first hour going into the phone calls. But coming out of the first hour, going into the second hour, we had a little transition music there. So that was a nice, you know, nice little element to add. And the point that Janet made about having the all the reports go sequentially and then give them the opportunity to interact with one another, I did find that more enjoyable than the way we've structured it for years now. So that those changes brought about a whole new energy to this show in its entirety. But that underscores the point that it's the committee, you know, that's open to these ideas and, you know, creates, you know, these things that and functions as the de facto executive producer. And it's the implementers, you know, who assign, you know, to the facilitator, the host, and the board members, you know, on how to conduct themselves. So that speaks to my point that we may have to say no to this idea of an executive producer. But how do others feel?
With a question.
Go ahead, James.
I'm wondering if anybody got any feedback from her. Did she listen? Are we aware that she listened? And did she have anything to say?
She listened. She listened. Well, she communicated to me after the show. She listened.
What did she say? Well, I mean, if it was confidential call, don't say. But did she say anything that you'd feel free to share?
She didn't speak about the show itself. She just spoke about something that was mentioned during the show and as part of another discussion. But so that was proof to me that she listened to the program. But she didn't say anything about the improvements or the changes to the show itself. No, she didn't say anything about that. But, yes, she listened. I know she listened.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If we were to function as a committee executive director and to kind of keep tweaking the show as we go, that would kind of be what we would do with these meetings then. Am I right?
Yeah,
we would have some purpose in having these meetings. Because I would add that, I mean, there's something simple, it seems to me simple, to make the beginning not so awkward and haphazard. And, you know, you never know whether, can't they all speak to the host before they go on the air? Isn't there a moment where they can say, are you on, are you on, are you on? Hello, Ralph, so that Ralph isn't coming from outer space, you know, one subject down the road?
Well,
so it's a smoother beginning.
Well, I agree with that, but that's something that happens due to the technology we're using. And the fact that Catherine wasn't overseeing the Zoom last night. Normally, people would call in, and she would talk to them and let them know, hey, I hear you or I don't hear you or what have you. And the host and the board members for that slotted hour can talk to each other, you know, prior to the show without that going on the air. But and Catherine is undertaking that. But last night she wasn't able to do that, so it had to come from the from Reggie inside the studio. Well, the way it's set up in the studio, the engineers can't talk to people on Zoom while they're getting set up. So that was a function of, you know, who was doing it and the technology we're using. But
right.
But in the past, for the past shows, yeah, that's been done. Catherine is the one talking to them and saying, yeah, I can hear, I can't hear you. So this way the host has some idea of who's there. I don't know what's going to happen with the next show, if Catherine will be, you know, able to come back and, you know, handle that responsibility, or if we'll have to depend on, you know, Reggie. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, Reggie turned it over to Max in the middle of the show, right?
Well, yeah. Theoretically, Max is supposed to be there at 7 o'clock. But Max has a history of
not starting
his shift on time. So
because
Reggie is still there, Reggie, by default, had to start the show. And I'm not sure if Reggie was paying attention to all the instructions I sent to him on the run sheet, because there was a long delay after Jack introduced the mission statement and when it got played. During that interim, we got to hear Ralph. He got unmuted, or was unable to unmute himself, and we got, you know, he got made his presence known. But Reggie had some delay in getting that on. Finally, he got. So that's how that worked out. So, I mean, it's, you know, cuts both ways. It was good and bad that there was that delay in getting that on. And
you
yes,
mean
I
that
agree.
We got to hear from Ralph?
Right.
Yeah.
We got that cleared up rather than, you know, going into the show. And then we're still not sure if Ralph, you know, we can hear Ralph.
Well, then I would say, why don't we play the mission statement before we introduce the guests? That way they can listen to it and talk about something in the mission. At least it would be, you know, not such a great piece of writing.
So the host would introduce him or herself, and then say, before I introduce who's here,
let's
play the Pacifica mission statement, and then when that's done, announce who's there for that panel. They say hello, and then just go right into the reports.
Right.
That's what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. I'm not opposed to that. How do others feel?
That sounds great to me.
Okay. What about Pat, or
I think it's
James?
Good. I think it would be a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of
what
be from
you,
the
James?
General to the specific, so.
Mm-hmm. What about you, James?
I agree.
Okay. All right. Well, we could try that for the next show. Okay. So mission statement first and then intro.
This is getting to be fun to have a Hydra-headed executive producer.
Okay. But this proves my point. It's the committee, you know, the body that decides these kind of things. It's not just one person, you know, tweaking this, that, and the other. Because that creates a whole new set of problems that we have to address. So,
This is James again.
Yeah, go ahead, James.
Perhaps we can provide these changes and, you know, perhaps mention some of the improvements that were made in the show that Linda did not talk to you about when she called, in some kind of, will we have minutes or some kind of a report that she could look at and, you know, show her that, you know, we are functioning as a Hydra-headed executive director.
Producer.
Not that we have to do that, but just, you know.
I wrote her last time that we were going to include the following things, and she never wrote back to it, but just to see if she was okay with it. She never objected.
Mm-hmm.
So we think she didn't object.
Because
they were so small, the things we did.
Well, the way they were small, but they made a big difference. But,
they did.
But these are things that the body can decide, as opposed to having, you know, some anointed person, you know, dictate to us. Hey, I think we should do this.
it's much more than the spirit of democracy this way.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels more organic, you know, that the committee is discussing this as opposed to just the other way around. What again? Oh, the in terms of the cart, there's been some discussion. Well, let me backtrack. There was discussion about sprucing up the cart, the announcement for the upcoming show, for the February show. So one of the things that Janet wrote to Linda about was that I would send her the raw information that Janet and I had voiced. I cobbled together something that Janet recorded some time ago and mixed it with my voice, and that I would send that to Linda for her input. At our last meeting, she said that maybe we could take sound from a prior show and incorporate that. So I left room for her to incorporate that, and I specifically wrote to her when I sent it to her, said, when you're done with your input, send it back to me so that I can mix the music to it, put the music to it. Instead of doing that, she didn't add any of that sound that she had suggested at the last meeting. She just simply put a whole new piece of music underneath it and then put that into rotation. Well, the music, it was, you know, a bit rockin', Chuck Berry rock and roll, and it was energetic, but it wasn't exactly in keeping with the music that previously associated with the show, which is more techno music. So for the next card, the music should be what we've traditionally used as our secondary themes, some techno stuff, or maybe even a whole new techno piece. And then, you know, I'm open to ideas for, you know, what wording or ideas people have for what that announcement should be. But I don't think I'm going to be submitting stuff to her again, because she doesn't do what you asked her to do. She just went wild with it and did what she wanted.
Yeah. Right.
How do others feel about that?
Well, you are the music producer.
Go ahead, James.
Just a question. I apologize. I'm not always remembering things exactly as we discussed it previously, but I think, didn't we discuss, or wasn't it one of Linda's suggestions that we pick a theme that could be consistent and, you know, have a branding effect for the show? And where does that fit in, if at all?
Well, that fits in with the idea of using the same music in the cart that's used in the show. And I explained to you privately that I've done that in the past, but it's too samey-samey if the cart is played directly before the start of the show. You're hearing this, it sounds like a loop that's being created. So what I've done in the past is I used two pieces of music for the carts. I alternate between the two. And those two pieces of music have de facto become our secondary themes that we've used in addition to the piece of music that's used in the show itself. So it's proper. There's nothing inconsistent about that.
Yes, I do recall that now, and I'm glad you repeated it for everyone else.
That's okay. That's good. That's good. But the piece of music that she chose had absolutely nothing to do with any piece of music we've ever used before. So I'm not going to take that route again with her. But, you know, if others have ideas, you know, for the wording, I'm certainly open to that. But, you know, we can discuss that. You know, as we get closer to the next show, which again is March 31st, which I had Jack announce last night before the show ended. So I'm glad he got that in. So it sounds as though we're in agreement that we're going to have the committee continue on as the executive producer, and then we just meet prior to each show, which is what the empowering motion says that we're supposed to do anyway, and plan the forthcoming show. So any tweaking or improvements will come from the committee, and we can relay this information to her, you know, via Janet. Agreed?
Agreed.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. So
I have a suggestion for the the cart, perhaps.
Yes, Pat, go ahead.
It might be good to say, when talking about the calls, call in and interact with board members, because people are always complaining constantly and ad infinitum that they can't interact with board members at the LSB. And so it would be good to emphasize that you can do that on the report to the listener. You can.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the functions of it.
Good, good. I like that. Thank you.
That is good.
Call in and interact with the board members. Yeah, we don't have to say call in and voted. Call in and interact with the board members that you voted for, because not everyone voted for everyone. But just call in and interact with the board members. Okay, I like that. I like that.
With the board members present. I mean, you can interact with the ones that aren't on that show, but, but I guess you should say present.
Okay, okay. Good idea. I like that. Thank you. Thank you.
Right, because it is always a shock to realize when you're, you know, making a commentary at an LSB meeting that you can't really address any LSB member or they can't answer you. It's a shock for everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
There's so much rage about this. There's been rage by some people about this for years. And so there has to be some sort of way to mitigate this. Maybe more than one way, but this is one way.
Yes, I agree.
I think you justified that rage. Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, this leads into the empowering motions. So let me just read through that, and provide my commentary as we go along to see if we're still in agreement on what this should be. All right. So, reading from the last one that was passed in 2020. One, ad hoc LSB Radio Committee motion. Whereas the purpose of the LSB program is to report on the work of the board and on issues of concern for the station, be it resolved that, and as you see right there, maybe we should excerpt that part when we invite new board members to appear so that that's stuck in their head. Hey, you're reporting on work of the board and on issues of concern for the station, not just what your favorite programs are. But
good.
That's just an aside. All right, so monthly on-air LSB reports will have LSB staff members invited to serve as hosts in alphabetical order, and we've been doing that. Hosting duties shall not affect a staff member's eligibility report, except that one should not serve as host and guest on the same program. In the event that none of the eligible staff members are available to host, non-LSB staff who have been suggested by committee members as potential backup hosts will be invited in alphabetical order by the implementers. Now, we've never taken that last step of having non-LSB staff as potential backups in the event that, you know, staff members who are on the LSB are not available. But, you know, it's good that it's there. We have it in the empowering motion. I don't think we should take that out or change that. All right. Now, here's the cogent part that basically lays out who has the authority for the executive producer role. The radio committee shall meet before each scheduled broadcast date to plan the program and to designate two or more persons on a rotating basis who will be responsible for implementation. If, for whatever reason, the plan cannot be implemented, the committee should be promptly informed and consulted on how to deal with the problem. In the absence of a decision by the committee, the implementers will consult with each other to seek a solution. The implementer's primary responsibility is to act in good faith to fulfill the intent of the plan. So, we've been doing that. It was brought to my attention that this actually says two or more persons on a rotating basis, but because we haven't had other people who are interested in doing it, it's just been myself and Janet. But, you know, we have it in the motion that it can be on a rotating basis. So if other people who haven't screwed us over in the past are interested, you know, we're open to that. Okay, so moving on. The first report of the year will include presentations of the local board officers and members of the Pacifica National Board. And we've maintained that throughout all the years that the show's been on, so we're good there. In the remaining months, 1 hour of each report will feature four LSB members who have not already appeared running alphabetically. If anyone is unavailable at the time of his or her alphabetical rotation, the next person can be called, and the first party can participate in the next regular report. LSV members who are active on committees shall report on their committees during their regular time on air. And as I was explaining this to Janet, in the years past, there were more activities, for more committees that members could be on, and they could speak about their work on the various committees. That doesn't exist these days, so that's why it's a little more difficult to get them to, you know, stay board-centric, if you will. But it's there. All right, moving on. The time allotted for reports will be 2 hours, which will include brief updates on the work of the LSB and its committees, the Pacifica Network, the PNB, issues of significance, and announcements of board meetings and events. At least half of the allotted time will be devoted to listener calls. So we've done that. We've been consistent with that all these years, so we're still good there. In an effort to provide the greatest outreach to each listener, the committee will explore several formats and scheduling options. The LSB recommends that if its live on-air report is rotated throughout the program schedule, that it be done in such a way that it does not repeatedly affect the same programs. And we've been good about that, that we haven't affected the same program over and over again. Okay. The radio committee shall designate a member to be responsible for coordinating the promotion of the LSB report through the use of a cart, websites, the LSB hotline, various listservs, and the WBAI newsletter, and a member to coordinate the scheduling of the show with the appropriate WBAI department head and or the program director. And we've maintained, you know, all of that there, so we're good on that front. Moving on. The reconstitution of this ad hoc committee will take place automatically in January of each year. This empowering motion will come before the WBAI local station board for review and possible revision at the LSB meeting held each March. All right, number two, motion convening a meeting of the WBAI LSB Radio Committee. WBAI Local Station Board authorizes a volunteer from this board to convene the first meeting of each year of this ad hoc committee. All right, so there you have it. So I think it's a work of art.
It is a work of art, and it's interesting to see how it really sets the energy of this committee. Makes it matter.
Yes. Well, and that's why I said that, you know, for a PD to, you know, implement some new structure here, I don't know about that. Or, you know, unless the body is willing to change that structure and we have to, you know, come up with a whole new way of how do we do that.
We're kind of losing you.
Yeah, we're losing you.
We lost him.
Yeah.
No, you didn't lose me.
That phone
was fading, dying, losing its
battery power.
So I had to switch phones. All right, so you can hear me
better
now?
Okay. Yes.
All right, so as I was saying, coming up with a whole new empowering motion to accommodate this executive producer thing creates more work, and I'm not sure if all that work would be worth it. So there you are. All right, so it sounds as though people are in favor of the powering motion, so we could discuss that. And, ooh, this reminds me. So as we're here, I guess we can task someone to be the implementers and someone to handle the promotion. So I volunteer to be one of the implementers. Anyone else like to join?
Yeah. I like to do it.
Okay, so Janet, myself, will be the implementers for the March show. I volunteer to handle the promotion. Thank you, Pat, for that idea about people calling in and interacting with the board members who are present.
I like that. I'll incorporate that. And then I'll use one of our secondary themes as the bed and get that into rotation. Okay. And let's see. I volunteer to convene our next meeting. And I think that's it. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to add? Or? All right. Well, on that
Thank you.
On that note, it was a very productive meeting and much shorter than I thought it would be. And even with a late start, we still ended at a reasonable time. All right. So on that note, I thank everyone for their time and their patience. And this meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you all.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Well done.
Bye,
thank you, Sean.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Janet. Everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.